Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network. How might American politics today mimic the political events of Haven City from the Jack and Daxter series? If you've ever wondered that, you're either me or crazy, I don't know. But that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the Jack and Daxter PS2 franchise, focusing on Baron Praxis, Cyber Eril, I might be saying that wrong, a few other characters that are rather political, looking back on it as an adult going, what? This is what we played as kids? I am really excited for this one. I'm Joshua Knoll, and I'm here with the one and only, one of our favorite guests, former host of the show, the Tolkien head himself, Nick Polk. How's it going, man?
Dude, so good to nerd out with some OG nostalgic PS2 platformers that are like my favorite. I'm so freaking stoked.
Dude, yeah, man, it's going to be a good time. For if you don't know, yeah, this is like PS2 era of gaming, some of the best. Nick's recently mentioned that he started replaying, and I tried to get this episode together, and everybody was like, well, we've never played Jack and Daxter. I'm like, I bet my friend Nick has, and he has.
Because we're elite.
Yeah, that's what it is. Also, since you know, guest, got to mention all the like the plugs. He's Tolkien Pop over on Substack. He has Tolkien and Pop Culture Volume 1 book up on Amazon and probably other places if you don't want to get Amazon. Also, I always have to tell people, if you ask your public library to buy something, they usually will, then you can just rent it. And then other people will read his book. So it's like bonus for everybody. And it's the cheapest way to do it. So why not?
And you can support your local library, which is the best thing of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Nick, on our primarily political episodes like this, instead of talking about what we've been geeking out on lately, we start by identifying a bad actor in politics. And at the end of the episode, we'll identify a good actor in politics. So it could be someone real, someone from the Bible, someone fictional, whatever. Doesn't really matter. I'll go first. I'll let you think about it for a minute. If I'm thinking of bad actors in politics, it's just so easy. I am like, you know what? Since we're doing PS2 games, I'm going to go Dr. Nefarious from Ratchet and Clank. That's who I'm going to shout out here. He just straight up is organic suck. And he's got a point. If you listen to it, you're like, okay, that makes sense. But then he's like, I'm going to make everything robots now. And you're like, okay, maybe that's not the correct solution to the problem you identify. But he is hilarious. So that's how I'm going with Dr. Nefarious. Nick, if you had to just shout out a bad actor in politics, who are you thinking?
Dude, I love that. Dr. Nefarious is a classic. One of the bad actors, I guess, I've been thinking of is I just read the first book in the Red Rising series. And so was not a huge fan at first, but then the payoff was really well. So I'm going to continue. But the arch governor in that series, ooh, at least the first book, is like diabolical. Yeah, no spoilers, but so evil. So evil.
Solid pick. Solid pick. Man, I'm more excited to hear the good. See, I was going to start with good actors because like we're going to start on a positive note, then I'm like, oh, I don't want to end on a negative note. So that's why we do the positive ones at the end. So you guys hang in there in the episode and we'll identify a positive example of a political actor. While you're here, though, I want to mention we do have a t-shirt specifically for our primarily political series. It's a mech suit guy shaking hands with an ogre in front of the White House on the moon, because why not? Part of why we do this series is to be a little silly, to show that you know, you don't have to take this stuff with that kind of seriousness where we all have to hate each other. We can have fun with it. Talk about policies and not, are you identify as this party or that party? Talk about the stuff that matters and have fun and don't have to like hate each other and be at each other's neck while we do it. So if you want to support that, get the t-shirt, represent, and, you know, just keep loving our show. That's the main thing.
Yeah, get the shirt. Love the show.
Yeah. Also, got to shout out our financial sponsor. Today, I want to do a special shout out for James Barrett. James, you're amazing. Thank you so much, dude. I want to remind listeners, too, that you can get your own shout out by becoming an official member of Systematic Geekology on the website, down in the show's description. That's the same place you're going to find the t-shirt. You can find extra free content. Nick's been a part of some of that stuff. You can leave a one-time tip. There's all kinds of stuff you do on that website. There's all kinds of other links, too, including the playlist for all of our primarily political episodes. So actually read the show notes, click the links, check out stuff, continue your journey with us, become part of the community. We don't just do this to put on a show. We like being in community with you guys. So check it out. We appreciate it. And with that, I think it's time for us to jump into the real fun here. Nick, man, I told you that this to me felt like when you were like, you know, in middle school or something, and you had to have a friend over to play a game, and you like took Terrence Blaine, and I was like, Mom, can you please let Nick come over? I'm just so excited to do this with you. So could you, let's start with just like, what is your history with the Jack and Daxter games? Like, when's the first time you played? What's your, you know, you've been playing for like 300 years before it came out for like 2 days? Where?
Yeah, totally. 300 years before it came out, yeah, you know, yeah. And then I jumped into a rift and, you know, came back, yeah. And the loop kept going.
And you created the game in our the House of Mar itself.
And who named me? I guess it's unclear, but also not unclear. It's interesting. Anyway, fan theories are fun. the first game. So I got the PS2, I think almost the same year it came out. My grandmother got it for me, and one of the first games that she got, because it had to be rated E, because I was young, I think I was right around second grade, mm-hmm. was Jack and Daxter. And I loved platformers. I love Banjo-Kazooie, you know, all of the N64 guys, you know, that's probably my all-time favorite game is Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, and Jack and Daxter is in the top 10 for me. And so played that, and then later on, I was not allowed to play Jack 2 or Jack 3 because it was, you know, too adult. But as I got older, people started upgrading their game systems. And so they gave me their hand-me-down Jack 2 and Jack 3 discs. And that's how I played it back in the day.
Heck yeah, dude. Yeah, I had similar. Like, I had Jack and Daxter the original when it came out. Wasn't allowed to play Jack 2 or 3 because it was teen. I think I played some at friend's house. I know I remember seeing it. The first time I actually played through any Jack and Daxter games was actually PSP, because he had like the little portable system. Like, I had my headphones in and my parents didn't know what bad words. And that's when they invented E10 and up. So ooh, I think Daxter was actually E10 and up. So it wasn't teen. So I was allowed to play it.
Dude, that's such a better rating system than just straight E and T.
Everyone or teenager or mature. I remember, like, because I played the Daxter game on PSP and it was so much fun. It was nothing like Jack and Daxter or anything, but it was like I'm being an exterminator going around the city, and like you have all these silly mini games and like references to like Braveheart and Matrix, and I'm like, this is parody gold. But then there was Jack and Daxter the Last Frontier, which happened after the third game and no one seems to remember it
because it was trash.
Gosh, I loved it, actually.
Did you really?
I had so much fun with that. I was like, because, you know, it's very platformy, but it's like without the dark power. So it's like all the light stuff. And since I hadn't really played Jack 2 that much, I didn't care about the dark powers. I was like, this is cool. I have wings. Like, I like this.
The platforming is cool. I think the voice acting and like the story and the animation, is a downgrade. Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Animation and voices were definitely downgrades. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going to yuck your yum. If you had fun, that's all that matters, you know?
I haven't played in a long time. So I'll play it again and tell you, like, oh, man, I misremembered that. But we'll see. Man. So, yeah, that's kind of my history. I started there. I had one of my best friends in high school. They were his all-time favorite. They were his Kingdom Hearts. If you listen to the show for all, you know how I feel about Kingdom Hearts. That's how he felt about Jack and Daxter. Like, well, now I've got to play Jack 2 and 3. And Jack 2 was like, this is going to sound so dumb. I play Jack 2 a lot. It's one of the games I replay the most. And it's because it's like Grand Theft Auto that I can play, because I overthink things, if you guys are unaware. And I'm like, I feel guilty playing Grand Theft Auto because I'm like, I don't know this guy. Why? Like, I stole his car and beat him up. And I'm like, what if that was a good person? Like, is this okay? Is it okay for me to pretend to do this?
Did I just beat like, an old two, lady?
Yeah. But then in Jack 2, it's like, it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto rules, but like when I beat up the police, it's like, we're under police state. These are clearly the bad guys. They're oppressing people. And I'm like, heck yeah, I can steal their cars and drive around and shoot the police. And it's a good thing. No moral quandary. That's what I needed.
The political divide, but I guess there really, I don't know if there really is one in the first one, but it's like first one, fun adventure, there's villains, all this stuff. And then yeah. It's like political uprising and shadow government. And you're like, God dang.
Conspiracies, spies. Yeah, like it matures so quick.
Torture.
Oh, man. Yeah. So yeah, let's start on that thing, though. So like why was, for those who don't know, why was the original game so considered so wildly different from the other games in the Jack and Daxter series? And like what makes that jump so significant? Because I feel like it was not just significant to people playing the game, but like gaming community at large. I feel like it reflects a lot, actually.
Yeah, you know, it could be just the jump in the couple years of in like the, I guess I want to say just like pop culture and the tone. And so it came out in 2001. Things were still pretty innocent, you know, people were still protesting South Park, that sort of thing, right? And so I think a couple years later, the culture started shifting in what it would tolerate as far as content. And I think also the taste changed, right? Grand Theft Auto was very popular. So Jack 2 kind of grew with the tolerance as well as the taste change for more mature games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, so it's wild. And we're gonna talk about like what the games are for those who don't know, but like just kind of doing a little bit behind the scenes, like gamer world stuff. It's like you very much get to this when the first one came out, where like the typical game was like the original Ratchet and Clank was similar. Like it's platformer, it's Banjo-Kazooie, it's jumping from platform to platform, seeing if you can hit the button fast enough, you know, whatever. By the time Jack 2 came around, like games really started changing, where like you have more open world, you have more like shooting games are like the popular thing now, not platformers. So I think part of it was adapting to shooting games being the popular thing, and how do we keep doing this thing without losing an audience?
Right.
And then part of it too was like, I feel like a lot of companies were showing, no, you can tell real stories in games. It's not just like we're having fun and, oh, look, the monkey took the princess and then the plumber beat, you know, like it's not like just like silly fun going back and forth stuff. It's like, no, you can go like in-depth complex storytelling. And Final Fantasy is probably a big part of why people realize, oh, we can actually do this. And Naughty Dog, if you pay attention after the Jack and Daxter series, they keep doing that. Like they're the ones who do the Last of Us. They do like, a lot of these games that are like known for complex stories come from Naughty Dog, who did Crash Bandicoot and then Jack and Daxter, these little, you know, fun, silly platformers that I love. I don't mean silly in a, you know, negative way, just they were silly.
Oh yeah.
And Jack and Daxter really shows the company's progression too, I think.
Agreed. Yeah. And I guess people who will listen to this will be familiar with the Jack series, but you know, Jack and Daxter series. But like you said, Jack 2 is really, you know, there's guns, there's shooting, there's, it's not really language. They say like crap now. Well, they say crap in Jack and Daxter, but
I think they say like, what the hell? Which I remember as a kid, that was a huge deal. Like if my parents heard a game say that, I knew they were going to take it away no matter what part of the game I was in. So I was like,
yeah, it's a GTA clone. Don't hide that. It's not a clone, but it's a GTA, you know, it's got a GTA framework.
Yeah, I mean, definitely feel the inspiration there. Yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So for those who don't know, Jack and Daxter, it starts off and it's just like two best friends. One of them end up in this portal and comes back and I forget what what's he called? Ocelot?
Oh, he's an Otzel. He's a mixture between an otter and a weasel.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, we got to do this stuff to go back through the portal and turn my best friend back to human. And like, it's like, okay, we're going to do these like little platform missions. We're collecting the precursors and we're going to do this. Ta-da. First game ends with you going through the portal. Second game starts. You went through the portal. You were captured. And now you are tortured for years, imbued with darkness itself. There's a political uprising and the entire city is under police watch. And you're like, what kind of world did we just step into? Like, truly, like they took the portal to a different world, to like the max. Halfway to most of the way through the second game, you realize it's the same world, but way in the future.
Spoilers.
Pretty big plot twist. Sorry, spoiler guys. But yeah, long story short, Jack ends up having to send a version of himself back to create Heaven City and all of this stuff. And then in the third game, you meet different political characters. You see more of what's going on. But like second game is like where the political stuff really starts happening. So Baron Praxis is this leader. He put the city on police watch. He's keeping everybody strictly on really minimalizing what people are allowed to do. Very dictator-ish. Yeah. And then the third game, they free the dictator. There's still consequences. People blame Jack for a lot of bad stuff that happened because, you know, it's not like you beat Hitler and now everything's good. There's still fallout. There's still consequences. There are financial consequences. There's, okay, well, you took the safety away and now some people have this version of the city that they want to see and this other versions. Politics are never clean. You know, they're not simple and clean. Sorry.
The enemies are fighting. Like you said, the protection's gone and the enemies are taking over the city. Yeah.
And like, it's a lot of complex stuff. So you get a lot of political stuff. He gets banned from the city in the third game. He meets another city that they didn't know realized. He meets a ruler who used to be the ruler of Haven City, finds out more of the background, finds out more about himself. Because again, there's a time loop involved here. It's a whole crazy, wild, fun mess. The second one is Grand Theft Auto. Third one is, aren't vehicles fun? What if you were just like off-roading and shot stuff?
It's straight up Mad Max, dude.
Even yeah, I was like, what if Mad Max was a...
Cleaver is straight wannabe Australian Mad Max.
It's
dude.
So funny. It's Mad Max as a platformer.
Yes.
Yeah, the second one is Grand Theft Auto as a platformer. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. But so, Nick, if you were to rank the three games, like how would you, what order would you put them?
Man, you know, it's probably nostalgia talking, but I just love straight platformers. And I think that the storytelling is fun, but I think it tries too hard to be like so epic and cool. And to a certain degree, it accomplishes it. But I just love the straightforward story of Jack and Daxter, the first one. I think I like the story in Jack 3 better than Jack 2, but I like the combat and missions and platforming in Jack 2 better. Story in Jack 3 better, actual gameplay, Jack 2 better. So I'm going to go Jack and Daxter for number one, Jack 2, I guess just the classic order, 1, 2, and 3. Yep.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You're also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason. Or even for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page. And we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
Man, I feel like I'm letting you down now. And yeah, it is weird. Like, I'm going to be opposite of you in a weird way. I like the gameplay in 3 better. I love the vehicles and all that. Like, I had so much fun. And then having more weapon choices, because, like, I'm ADHD. And it's like, in Jack 3, it feels like every single mission, you're getting a new power or weapon or something. And I'm like, this is, like, just ADHD fuel, man.
No, it's true. Armor, you know, mods. That's true. Sick. That's true.
I love it. So, I think it's probably my favorite gameplay would probably be 3. I don't know, story, my favorite story might be 3 too. Setting, though, my favorite setting is Jack 1 and then Jack 2. My least favorite setting is in Jack 3. Like, I have, like, I love the Haven City. It's so much fun to explore. And then, like, the first game where everything's bright and happy is, like, great. And then, like, I don't know what it is. Mad Max is just a bummer. Like the gameplay is fun, but I'm like, this setting is just kind of a downer, man. Like somehow that's more of a downer than the police state. Because at least in the police state, I could just beat the bad guys up when I felt like it. Vent, you know?
It's tough to fill empty desert space too. Like all the missions that you get to are really well done, but like a lot of times in the driving missions, I was like, so there's driving. Nothing here, dude.
Yeah. It makes it rough. So I think, and I know like this is going to sound weird. Like I feel like I really built 3 up to say that, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. Cause I do love the gameplay so much. I'm going to have 3 is 1. 1 is 2, and 2 will be my least favorite, but like they're all so close. Right. I just love different aspects of them for different reasons. So like if we're like, you know, like if we were ranking gameplay, 3 is my number 1. If we're ranking settings, 1 is probably my number 1. You know, and it's like 2 has a little bit of everything. So like Agreed. Overall, maybe 2 is the best one because I'm like, it's like my second favorite on all the categories. It's not my favorite in any category though.
Yeah. All 3 are great games, in my opinion.
They're awesome. Yeah. You know what? Daxter is my favorite. I'm not even joking. The Daxter PSP game is my favorite because it's the funniest one. And I put comedy above all else.
I want to play that. I'm going to find it online for free somewhere and play it. I love it
so much. All right. So MoviePass, we'll give them a little bit of context of like what the games are. But could you maybe help them out a little bit more? Who is Baron Praxis? Like, what's his motivations? What is the political agenda going on here? And Jack 2 is when he's introduced. Yeah.
So Baron Praxis, you know, he's the leader of Haven City. And at first you don't really know this, you know, that he's a bad guy because Jack and Daxter, Samos and Kira go through the portal. He kidnaps Jack and starts torturing him for like a secret dark warrior program where he injects him with dark eco. And part of it is that there's metal heads that are attacking the city, which are like this ancient race that also are evil. Surprise, surprise. And so they're attacking the city and Baron Praxis is using brute force to what seems to be protecting the city. And what you find out later is that Baron Praxis actually has been paying the metalheads under the table to just have them attack just enough to make people feel scared and protected by Baron so he can hold on to power.
Yeah, that blew my mind when that was first revealed. I was like, what?
There's so many twists. He tries
to destroy the metalheads. Like, he's paying them, making them feel threat. And then at the end, he's like, I'm going to slip a bomb into this last transaction. Like, well, the metalheads are definitely bad, but like this still seems bad too.
Right. And also it's weird that you're like, okay, I'm going to use this to manipulate people, but also I'm going to eliminate you once and for all. I think he's one of those villains. Like it's not inconsistent. He's just so power hungry that I think he can't juggle all of the things he wants. Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be really transparent. I probably upset some people, but listen, guys, I'm okay with us having differing opinions. I love everybody. Part of why I wanted to do this episode and why it was primarily political is like I'm replaying Jack 2 and going, holy crap, Baron Praxis is Donald Trump.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
dude.
It's just this whole like they're the enemies. I'm going to set things up so everybody hates them. And I'm going to set things up. And it's like, look, I protected you from the danger that I put you in. And now I'm going to eliminate these other beings because I demonized them and made them seem like a threat and then cause them to be a threat. You're like, dude. Chill. And the police state stuff, I'm like,
it's his own secret police. They got their own name and everything, right? The Crimson, what are they called? The Crimson Guard.
Yeah, and it's so crazy. Like playing it now in today's world, I don't like. Like, I don't know. Maybe if you're a super MAGA fan, you won't see it. But I like feel like for the most part, you're playing this, and it's like, why do I feel like I'm just fighting ICE? Like what?
You know, the Red Hat, Crimson Guard. Coincidence?
I don't know, man. Maybe Donald Trump played Jack 2 and was like, I know who the real hero of this game was.
I'm just, if Donald Trump spent, I feel like I would not be surprised if Donald Trump spent another third of his time playing video games. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that's what he did the first term. He was actually playing Jack 2, coming up with ideas for next time.
He's a real gamer.
So, part of this. So like you get almost like Star Wars vibes, right? Because like you have the Empire, you have Baron Praxis and the Crimson Guard, which Stormtrooper parallels, I feel like,
totally.
You can see it. But then you have the Rebels. And in this world, they're the Underground and you have some of the different leaders there. So do you want to maybe unpack a little bit? Who are the Underground and who are some characters maybe we care about?
Man, Underground is also very complex. So you at first you meet Kor, who's this old man who also has a child who is unidentified at this point. And there's Torn, I think, right? Torn is his name, right? And he's also, he used to be a part of the Crimson Guard. So Torn, Kor, protecting this little kid for unknown reasons. And they're like, hey, we're resisting Baron. And we also have somebody who's running things behind the scenes called the Shadow, right?
Yeah, the Shadow, which... That reveal was great, too.
Yeah.
We don't have time for every reveal, but that one's great. You guys look up on that one on YouTube, maybe. Samos and the Shadow, and I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think it's a stereotypical sort of rebellion, like Star Wars rebellion type revolution group.
It's also where you meet Ashlyn Praxis, who's one of the best characters of this thing, because it's like definitely the love interest. Definitely a little bit overly sexualized. Daxter kind of has some issues in this game that didn't age well. But
also the G strings poking out of the outfits
That's straight so 2000s,
bro.
Now.
Yeah.
So 2000s. It's cringe today, but it's fine. Yeah. But also she is the daughter of Baron Praxis. So you like, it's like you have the Luke, I am your father, but like backwards reveal where it's like, oh, I am the daughter. And you're like, wait a minute, what? And at the end of Jedi 2, she actually becomes the leader of Haven City after they defeat Baron Praxis. Yeah, which is cool because she's one of the good guys and also your love interest. But also somehow you still get banned from the city. So apparently didn't do you much good.
Yeah. And, you know, she realized her dad was a tyrant. But also, like you said, she can't do anything to stop Jack from getting banned. It's weird.
Yeah, it's strange. Speaking of Jack being banned. We also have another character who's in Jack 2 and 3, Count Vegar.
It's Vegar. No, that's what he says in this actual game.
It was like, I did it on accident, but like, anyway. He is the worst, like just rich, snooty, whatever. Like, he's actually like, so he's one of like the aristocrat party, like. Yeah, the people with money who actually control the politics. So that's what he really is. So he's able to kind of help manipulate things because whenever the deal goes bad, there's a big explosion, the city gets hurt, all of a sudden the metalhead's coming in. So even though Jack saved the day, because Jack has these dark powers that were given to him because of Baron Praxis, actually, people see the dark powers and how he looks kind of bad, and they're like, hey, let's blame that guy. And of course, he kind of leads the charge on that. And that's how he gets banned for the third game into Mad Max, but platformer. Yeah. Anything else to add about Count Vegar?
Yeah. I mean, Count Vegar, too. He also wants power. We find out that he's not like Baron Praxis level evil, I guess, but he wants to be the one who saves the day. And also he thinks that Jack legitimately is evil. Like he's using him for political gain to make him a scapegoat. But also he's like, you have dark ego, so you're evil and I want you to be eliminated. And surprise, surprise, the Count Vegar is not successful and actually turns into an Otzel. So,
yeah. Also, he's one of the lamest. Like, I like when you have bad guys sometimes that just turn out to be losers. Like Captain Quark, going back to my Ratchet and Clank days. I'm like, you know, it's just fun when one of the bad guys turns out to just be a loser.
Yes.
No, it's great. Speaking of Donald Trump. Oh, sorry. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. That was bad. But like one of the cool things about Jack 3, too, is like, yes, we took over the dictator, like, but like it's actually dealing with ramifications. So I like when stories don't just end with we beat the bad guy and then show some of the ramifications. And one of them has to do with the character Cyber Erol. I don't think I'm pronouncing that one right either, but there we are. Nick, you want to talk about like his story, like what happened in Jack 2 that led to him being the villain of Jack 3?
Yeah, Erol. I mean, there's so many. The story is really complex. Jack 2, there's multiple villains, you know, lots of twists and turns, surprise villains as well. But Erol is Baron Praxis's right hand man, essentially, and head of the Crimson Guard. And he has, you know, he's got issues with Jack immediately for pretty much the same reasons. And at the part towards the end of Jack 2, Jack has to go do Jack and Daxter have to do this race to get closer to Baron Praxis for some reason, and Errol and him race, and of course you win because you're the protagonist, and Errol gets pissed. He tries to run you over. He accidentally runs into a pile of ego, explodes, and you're like, oh, he's dead. That's cool. And then he's revealed to have survived in Jack 3, and he has been working with the Dark Makers, I think, to which are another secret, ancient, corrupted group of people.
A lot of magic, a lot of weird, like, cult factions and conspiracies and political mess. Yeah.
Yeah. They feel like the Flood mixed with Cthulhu mixed with, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like old school Klingon before they became part of the Federation. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can put all those three together. There you go. Absolutely. You've got the Dark Makers. So Errol comes back and he wants to kill everything and blow up the world. And he's like absolutely insane. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, he's mad. Like he attached everything he had to this, not Donald Trump, Baron Praxis, who when he's defeated, it's like, well, now what? And nobody wants anything to do with him. And people discarded him. He was dead, and then the leader's dead. So they're like, yeah, we don't care about this guy. And like, they neglected that, right? They kind of did we beat the bad guy, we'll set up the new power, and didn't address his old followers. So then, of course, the chief follower, who's now being cast aside, seeing everything stripped away from him, feels hopeless. Because like, what's he going to do? Come like, oh, no, I didn't really like him. No one's going to buy that. So what's he do? He turns anger. It just builds up in him until he just, everything he does is just for vengeance. He's just blinded by it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy stuff. Well,
the shift, we do the shift have, in tone, baby.
Yeah, man. We do have some happier characters to talk about though. The last one I want to mention, like for politically, and there's just so many characters, so much stuff going on in the Jack and Dexter. We can't cover all of it, but if we're going to talk about politics and Jack and Daxter, we got to talk about Damus or Damos.
Why do I think you said it right.
Why don't I know how to say things?
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our hosts. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
But yeah, so you're out like Spartacus, you're out at like Mad Max world in the desert. This guy and his people find you. Tell me something about him.
Yeah, so Damus. Damus.
Now I have you questioning.
I don't know. Who is he? Who is this guy? He is the leader of this society in the desert. And so the society is made up of people who have been exiled from Haven City. And so very Mad Max. Ashlyn gives Jack a beacon after he's exiled so that Damus can come find him. And he does. And Damus basically says, hey, if you want me to protect you and keep you alive, you need to do my missions. You got to do all this stuff and prove yourself. And over time, we find out that Damus is, he comes across kind of rough, anarchist sort of might makes right sort of character, but you find out later that he does want to do the right thing and he does want to resist evil. And surprise, surprise, you find out that he has a lost son, and the lost son was the young Jack from Jack 2. And, you know, as he says this to Jack, he's dying, and Jack is literally holding his long lost father in his arms while he's dying. And Damus says, I'm looking for my son and blah, blah, blah. And he gives him the talisman that shows that. Yeah. And he's the descendant of Mar, which Mar is like the dude, the legendary warrior from the past who makes precursor technology and good things possible. And of course, that's why Jack is so prone to being amazing and winning.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the big fan theory is that Jack is Mar. Like his son was actually Mar, and when he goes back in time, he's the
one.
But fan theories. That's just fan theories. I think the crazy thing too though is like when Damus is dying, he's like, he asked Jack to find his son. Like he still doesn't know that Jack is his son. So it's like,
right. Man,
that still kills me. Like I wish like we could like do a little bit of extra time travel just to let him know, you know. Just like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, get the rift going. Just, you know, just a little portal right before he's, by the way, I'm your son.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I love him. You also find out he was the leader of Haven City before Baron Praxis took over.
Oh, right. So like, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Baron Praxis had to come up with a threat to prove that Damus wasn't strong enough to do him, which is why in this Mad Max world, Damus is all like strength. We're going to lead from strength because when he led Haven City, they undermined him because, oh, he's not strong enough. In the face of these metalheads, he's not strong on immigration. I mean, strong on metalheads. that's kind of like the whole thing, which is why Baron Praxis was able to come in, take over, and then institute ICE, the Red Crimson Guards, whatever they're called. Oh, man. Yeah, the parallels are just so, I don't know. To me, it's almost on the nose, but it's weird because this came first. So it's like, obviously wasn't intentional, but dang, does it feel on the nose, man.
It feels a little prophetic.
Doesn't it? Like, it's just, it's a little strange. That's why I was replaying. I'm like, someone has to talk to me about this. Cause like, this is actually kind of weird how similar some of this
20
is.
20 years ago. That's wild. Yeah, like, that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. Naughty Dog actually knows the future. They're working with South Park. That's now my
and the Simpsons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. South Park, the Simpsons, Jack and Daxter. They've been working together, predict the future this whole time. But yeah, so we mentioned a lot of characters, and a lot of them are like, it's about power, revenge, whatever. This political need for power, what's weird to me in the game, but I think we see this a little bit in real life. It's like, it doesn't seem like there's an agenda past that. Like, it's like, I want power. It's like, okay, so then what? I have the power. Okay, so what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, I don't know. Like, I always feel like, even in real life, I feel like sometimes I'm drawing a blank, like, okay, you have power. Okay, J.D. Vance, what did you want with that? Are you just wanted to say you have power? Was that it? I'm confused.
You know? No, I even think about, you know, the first villain in One Punch Man, right? One Punch Man, right? Oh, yeah. He is a good guy, but he has reached the level and can't go any higher. And he's like, what's the purpose of life? And then, you know, the villain at the end is like, I will travel the universe and destroy everyone until I find someone. And that's it. You just keep searching for that high. And eventually there is going to be a ceiling, right?
Yeah. Well, I think like, and the problem is like, we can't trace back enough to like know for sure. But some part of me feels like it starts with that. Because I'm sorry, but like that, like pragmatic, annoying, the ends justify the means stuff that I always complain about. Like, I feel like it always starts there, but like it gets so lost that it's unrecognizable. You know, like I feel like, right, maybe not in the Jack and Daxter series, but who knows? Maybe Baron Praxis at some point literally was like, guys, this metalhead thing really is a problem. And he keeps justifying actions until you're just completely lost. And all you want now is the power. And you forgot why you wanted the power in the first place.
Right. It's the meme of, we're doing this for the children, right? We're doing this for the children. Yeah. And then it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, and then it's like, you're killing the children. Well, I can kill one children because I'm going to save all of them. And eventually you're like, I don't even remember why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And I think that like that just happens on like a large scale with any political faction or anything where it's like, why did we start this in the first place? I don't know. Like, we wanted power so that we could. It was originally to help somebody or save something or .. And that's where I'm like, this whole ends justify the means, power so that we can create good mentality, it's just so dangerous because everyone always loses themselves. Like, that's just what happens. We've seen it so many times. And it's like, it almost, to me, it feels like when I hear politicians and like church leaders and people do this in our world today, I feel like I'm listening to like a high schooler on TV go, no, our relationship's different, our love's different. And I'm like, it's not, dude. It's not, I promise. You know, like, no, I want power for good. It's different. It's not.
That's such a great analogy. That's perfect.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. Because like you said, I feel like people who have already done it, which, you know, obviously we both have not served at a level of office to have that experience. Yeah. But like I said, I've had teenagers You know, I'm a teacher who say that. They're like, oh, it's going to be different. And I don't give advice, but I'm like, listen, just take your time. Take your time. I was your age. That's all I'll say. Putting it out there in the universe for you to consider. You won't, but you know.
Yeah. I think that's like, maybe this is me, but one of my favorite things working in the restaurant business is like, sometimes I get to see the kids who are about to go to college and be like, well, we're going to do long distance and I'm going to come see them in the summer. And I'm like, yeah, you definitely won't be broken up by December. Yeah, I don't say that. Sure. I'm just like, oh, that's great. I hope you guys will. Like, I do wish them best. I'm like, been there. I've seen this. I know this story. But yeah, it's, I don't know how I, like, where that came from in my head, but I do feel like it's pretty one for one comparison. It's like the people.
Agreed.
Like, yeah. Well, and I think that was like, to me, one of the big moving things of like the, what was that podcast? The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Like, that was a big thing to me, was like listening to it. And I'm like, I actually do follow where he's like, oh no, this is for good. It's cause I love people. It's cause this. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then they're like, yeah, it just became something so totally wicked and unrecognizable. And like, that's what happens when you do stuff for power, because like, we want our side to win because it's going to protect the children, or it's going to, you know, save lives, or it's going to, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, when you justify stuff enough, eventually you become like this guy.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, power, revenge, and completely forgot why you're doing it in the first place. Yeah.
And they're cyborgs, right? Like, we were thinking of like AI, so cool, and all the issues there, you know, also prophetic, just saying.
Yeah, Jack and Dexter, Simpsons, South Park, we see you. Real quick, before wrapping this up, though, you know, our annual theme this year, well, I think you know, is the faces behind us on Systematic Geek College. We've been doing like a bunch of things, like just seeing the faces behind faces. And I think we've seen that with a lot of the characters. We already touched on them, but I just want to comment on it for a minute, because like, we talk about Baron Praxis and his daughter, Ashlyn Praxis. Somehow he raised this girl who ends up being like the leader of rebellion and saves Baron City. You see, Damus kind of accidentally raised his son and saved his son's life without even knowing it. You know, Cyber Errol, you see how he's faces behind him, like people not paying attention to the fallout, and he lost his whole world. And like, I don't know, there's just so much entanglement for Will out there. It's crazy. And like, I feel like part of that's just very realistic. But yeah, how do you think, like, as far as like, it ties into the theme? I've been talking about faces behind us all year, so like, I feel like I get lost in it. But do you see some of this connection, or like, where do you think this is important for us to pay attention to?
Yeah, I think one of the most difficult things, and people debate, and I don't know if there's really a right answer, but people are always asking, like, what is the nature of power and who should have it? And what should, if someone does have it, what should they do with it? And I think Ashlyn is a good example of someone who has access to power and uses it in the context of this world for legitimately the betterment of, you know, the people and the world. And of course, there's no more games to see if she ends up forgetting, you know, her purpose, but at least in this game, she's using her power for good. Yeah.
Which, I mean, really, it gets to what Christian nationalism actually means. It's just a heresy and it's just bad. But like, when we're like colloquial, what a lot of people think they mean is like, they just want Christians to have power. That gets to like a lot of my attention with that, where I'm like, I see the heart of, you think if people in power happen to be Christians, that it would be a better world. And I'm like, you know, I kind of actually agree with that. Like, if they were Christians and like following what Jesus said and caring for the poor and hungry and all that, I'm like, yeah, that would be a better world. I think the problem I have is, who is like Jesus that is pursuing power? That doesn't actually work, because Jesus didn't pursue power. But like, if you have someone who, like, let's say Donald Trump miraculously gets saved right now, and it's all of a sudden like, actually, I want to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and all that, like, that would be a good thing. So like, it's easier for me to see like someone like Ashlyn, who is like born into this, inherits the city, who happens to be a good person, being a good ruler. It's really hard for me to imagine someone who is already a good person or a Christian then going, I'm going to get the power and that's going to make everything better. Because I don't know, I don't see good people or Christians wanting power, because it's like, that's not, you're not worshiping God at that point, you know?
Yeah. And that's part of what makes Jack a hero, right? He doesn't go for power. And these are like good heroes. I think that's a great thing about some of these games, is that you're just a hero who's just kind of there to help.
Yeah. Which, once they realize the whole Mar connection, Jack has a claim to the throne to be ruler and all this. And he kind of denies it. He's like, actually, I kind of just want to keep being a hero and doing hero-y stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why they need to make more games.
Agreed.
Looking at you, Naughty Dog. Listen, if Ratchet and Clank is still going on, there's no reason Jack and Daxter can't be.
No, or at least, you know, bring us, you know, they did the Spyro, you know, reignited. Revamps. Yeah, bring us something. Agreed. Do it.
Something. Yeah. All right, man. Well, with that, are you good to start wrapping this one up?
Let's party.
All right. Well, then, we mentioned at the beginning that we were going to say a positive political act. So we started with an example of a bad political actor. We're going to end with an example of a good political actor. I'm going to stay on brand. I mentioned Ratchet and Clank. I did Dr. Nefarious for my bad political actor. I'm going to shock everyone. Captain Quark is going to be my positive political actor. He was a terrible politician. He was garbage at what he did, but he was trying to do good. Like, he was actively like, I'll be the best ruler. Like, he's arrogant douchebag, but he actually did want to help people. He just wanted it to be about himself, which is why he wasn't super successful. But I think he acted in good faith. So I'm going to name, which is funny because this is the second time I've done this in a row where I've named someone who was actually bad, but they were acting in good faith. So I'm like, that's a good political actor, even though they were bad.
Yeah, good faith, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to go Captain Quark. That's going to be my shout out. Also, because he's hilarious. And sometimes, like, if you have a leader who's not, like, causing a lot of harm and he's just funny, I'm going to offend some people. Listen, George W., he had his faults, but man, that guy was funny.
Dude, that dude was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a funny guy.
We need to tell all the terrorists to stop. Now watch this. Now watch this drive. I mean, you can't tell me that's not hilarious.
Just cracked me up. And also, well, so that's my second one. George W. was a good political actor. All the bad he did, listen, he has a book. We're not doing recommendations, but if I was, he actually has a book where he hand drew all these paintings of different immigrants and telling their story, because he's like, we need to know these people as humans. And I'm like, listen, guys, I disagree with like pretty much all of his policies. Can't tell me he wasn't a good political actor. Like, he was trying to do good. Can't say that about a lot of a current administration. Okay, anyway, Nick, go ahead. Who's a positive political actor?
No, I'm seconding all of your thoughts there on W. I'm thinking of Mon Mothma. That's my good political actor. You know, fun. I don't know all the stuff like behind all the lore or whatever, but everything from like the new movies, the, you know, Andor, like, come on, Mon Mothma rules, dude.
Dude, yeah, good stuff. Super good stuff, actually. Excellent stuff. Yeah. Speaking of excellent stuff, check out our primarily political merch. You can get that t-shirt I mentioned earlier. The ogre shaking a mech suit hand in space with a white hat. Like, who doesn't want, like, that's so much fun. And like Nick and I showed, like, this stuff can be fun to talk about. You don't have to, like, hate each other. Like, maybe Nick a couple times was like, I don't know, Josh, you're being kind of harsh, but, you know, we had fun with it. We had a good time. Even when he was like, Josh, Jack 2 had the best gameplay. Shut up. We could do that with politics, too. So, hey, grab a shirt, support what we're doing here, and support the show. We appreciate it. We also appreciate our financial supporters. So I want to shout out again the one, the only, the great. I'm pausing because I didn't write it down a second time. Wow, I'm a loser. James Barrett, dude, you're amazing. Thank you so much, James, for supporting our show. Guys, if you want to support our show, like James, get the t-shirt, look at the other fun free content. It's all on that website. Show notes, lots of links, including a link to the playlist of all of the episodes in this series, primarily political, politics, policies, fandoms, games, movies, comics, the whole shebang. It's fun. It's a fun series, so I recommend checking it out. Of course, I also recommend you do us an extremely important favor. And remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. I have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording, like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in, Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. All right, guys. See ya.
Hey, everybody. This is Alex Matthews, and I'm just here to share with you guys about the Anasal Network. Hope you guys could check out Page and Pixel, which is a podcast about books and video games. Another podcast we would love for you to check out is Your Matter Matters. It's a podcast that puts the and in faith and science. We got Let Nothing Move You with Christian Ashley going through the whole Bible, one chapter at a time. And last but not least, another one called Some Joyful Muses, a music podcast with no rhyme, rhythm, or reason. This show has no set schedule or host, but periodically has some members from the Anasal Network posting discussions about various musical topics, everything from Taylor Swift to the music of Adventure Time and more. So I hope you guys will give those a listen, because I definitely will. As a matter of fact, I'm about to hit that subscribe button right now, and you should too.